Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. You can find more podcasts like this by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes feed by searching for EDUCAUSE. This podcast is sponsored by Real Networks and features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. Participants include Mark Faulkner, Associate Vice President of Network and Telecom Services and Information Technologies at the University of Cincinnati, and Diana Nolke, Director of Network and Telecom Services and Information Technologies at the University of Cincinnati. The session is entitled UC Mobile.
Good morning. I'm Debbie Allison, Interim Vice President for Information Technology at Miami University in Ohio. I want to thank you all for joining us this morning and also remind you to please fill out the speaker evaluations, which you can do either at the kiosk here at the conference or, since we're about at the end, from the EDUCAUSE site when you return home. It's my pleasure today to introduce to you Mark Faulkner, who is the Associate Vice President for Network and Telecom Services at the University of Cincinnati, as well as Diane Nolke, who is the Director of Network and Telecom Services at University of Cincinnati. Mark is responsible and has a leadership role for the Data Network and Telecommunications System. He is an ex officio member of the Infrastructure Technology Planning Committee at UC, and a member of the Ohio Valley Internet 2 Consortium. Diana manages the voice data systems and data systems along with the university's Network Operations Center and Directory Services. She was the lead project manager during the implementation of the university's Cisco Gigabit Network in 2000-2001 and the Network Refresh Project for the Network Edge Equipment in 2007. It's my pleasure to welcome you today.
Well, good morning, everyone. Since this is a mobile topic, I have to say to you, can you all hear me? Because I've lost my voice in Florida here. I was coming to sunny Florida, but somehow I've lost my voice. So if it gives out or I get to coughing, Mark is going to graciously step in for me. So we'll get started. How many of you here are in the telecom arena at your university? Do any of you have any cellular offers on your campus today? Okay. So I'll go through the agenda real quick. You know, number one, why bother? And then how we integrated our PBX into our cellular service. And then comparing apples to oranges, where I really stepped outside my box when I had to get into that arena. And then some marketing that we did, our service model and our community model. And then the fun part that Mark gets to do is the mobile applications, and he's going to give you a live demo of our applications. And then we'll give you some lessons learned, but I really wanted to put up here the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we'll have some questions and answers. So as you all know, not even that long ago, students came in with computers and laptops, and now today they're coming in with cell phones and smartphones. So we as an organization said, we already provide data and voice services. Why don't we also offer a cellular service? So we started a venture with IBM five years ago, 2005, and started this whole ball rolling, and it has just been an adventure since then. We wanted to be different. We wanted to make it different for our students to come on campus. We wanted it to be unique. We wanted to say, okay, we know that, 90% of students are coming on your campuses today with a cell phone. Well, then why can't we have a cell phone that makes it different for them to come on campus, have applications that are applicable to them while they're on our campus, and so we can make a new service for them. The actual integration, of course, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole RFP that we did to get to provide a cellular provider for us, but you know, just some key things in integrating a cellular service with our current PBX environment. We wanted to have our own unique WAP deck. As you know, with your carriers today, you know, they have their web application menu there for you, and we wanted to have our own WAP deck for our cellular service, and we were able to integrate that, and CBT being Cincinnati Bell, being from the University of Cincinnati, Cincinnati Bell being in our play, you know, in our backyard, and it was the best fit for us, so they could integrate the way we needed it to be. We wanted to also offer on our cell phones our 5-digit campus dialing that we do, because faculty and staff are so used to that 5-digit dialing that why not do that on their cell phone? And then we also wanted to make sure that we had one voicemail box that each user could use. You know, as a staff member, you know, I have a voicemail box on my desk phone, and, you know, I'd have to check my desk phone, I have to check my cell phone. So we wanted to integrate that if you had a UC Mobile cellular phone, that you used the university's voicemail system, then we wouldn't have to pay that extra charge to the carrier for a voicemail service. So we were able to integrate that also. I think our biggest challenge when we did integrate our voicemail was getting the message waiting light to light on the cell phone. And we did that with PRIs and VPN tunnels and point-to-point circuits and such as that. I just quickly, I had a little pointer, but my battery was dead. So, like my voice. But I just quickly wanted to show you some build-out that we had to do, because in our RFP and in our partnership, we had to provide rooftop space and some telecommunication closet space for our carrier, Cincinnati Bell, in order for them to do the build-out on our campus, because in the contract, they have to provide 90% coverage across our campus, you know, above ground, below ground, parking garages, and, you know, those places where your cell phones don't work. So in that, I just want to kind of give you an idea of what our rooftops look like with putting those antennas and some base stations on there. This is actually a base station on top of our rooftops. We have two of those on two separate buildings. And I have to tell you, that was an experience for me, because I'd never been on the rooftops for cellular build-out before, and the miles and miles of cable that they have to use was amazing to me. And it's just a different art form than what I was used to. And this is an example of, it's a freezer-type size or a refrigerator-size boxes that we share in some telecommunication closets of ours for their base stations in-building. And here again is some more of the cabling and wiring and the actual antenna on four corners of our building to get the coverage. And this is the end building. Of course, you're probably familiar with some of the DAS systems there. And then we also had to do some repeaters to make coverage there. But again, like I said to you, stepping outside the box of network and telecom, you know, I'm used to working with vendors when it comes to, I give them my requirements for a product, and they come back and say that they can meet those requirements, and they tell me their bottom line what the cost is. When it came to looking at cellular plans and pricing and cost, it was totally unfamiliar to me. You know, I'm the type of person that looks at the bottom line. Okay, you got a cell plan over here for $29.99. This guy over here's got one for $39.99. Well, I want the $29.99, and I'm not really looking at the particulars. You know, this guy's giving me 200 minutes. This guy just gave me 1,000 minutes for $39.99, but I didn't compare those. So I didn't know how we were going to negotiate the right rate plans without going through really the fine print. And I tell you, it was a learning experience. But I think we finally did get the terminology of peak minutes, anytime minutes, roaming, you know, additional charges for going over your minute plans. So it all worked out for us, I believe. We wanted to be competitive in our pricing, and I believe we've done a good job in that. So, of course, our service model, if, you know, we want to be different, we want to draw students to the UC Mobile product, we wanted a branded phone. And each one of our cell phones has our UC Paul logo that we put on there. I know you guys can't see that from here. But we wanted to do that. And again, as I said, the five-digit dialing, the three-bar coverage to say that no other carrier could give you the coverage that we could provide with UC Mobile. And we also negotiated our plans unlimited calling for our exchange numbers, and actually in the local calling area. And it was device independent, that you could pick any device that Cincinnati Bell offered, and our applications would work on them, and you'd have the same coverage. And of course, Mark always shared that the thing that was really going to differentiate our cellular service was going to be our applications. And Mark will go into that further and share with you the really cool applications that our students designed and came up with. So who better? You know, we went through many focus groups trying to determine what the students really wanted in a cell phone. And then we came up with an idea last year about a student competition. And Mark will go into that. But they really, I believe, came up with some unique ideas. And again, who better than students to say what they want on their cell phones? I just want to quickly share with you, you know, not only do you do your rate plans, but now you have to market your product. I'm just giving you some quick ideas. We, you know, of course, use our mascot. We use our colors. You know, when you're working with a partner, they want to use, you know, their branded colors. You know, green and blue was not going to work for us. I said, no, it has to be UC-centric. I went red and black, and, you know, let's use our, you know, our logo. Let's use something about the campus. We use this advertising to students. We use it on their student planners. We send mailings to them. We send mailings to the parents. The checklist really was the one that we came up for the parents. You know, the older, you know, I got the to-do list. And we sent that to them. We sent that as kind of a refrigerator magnet type for them before they came in. And we, you know, come up different, you know, cups and this backpack. If you, you know, applied for a phone, that you would get this for free and such as that. And one of the best things we did for marketing, I'm sure most of you use student orientation leaders for fall. We've engaged our, we call them souls, each year to be kind of our ambassador for UC Mobile. They're the ones who are touching these new students coming in on campus, and, you know, they're, you know, talking about the product. One year we gave them a free phone to use through, you know, throughout the orientation period. We put their logo, we provide their shirts, we put the UC Mobile logo on for them. They get to pick out their own backpack. We embroider their name and the year and UC Mobile on the backpack for them. And they have been a very good marketing tool for us. And they've been, in, you know, excited about it, too. And then this fall, we actually opened up our store on campus. We have a main street in the center of campus, and we opened up our UC Mobile store. And so we were really excited to drive some traffic to that, because we also, this year, started marketing to our faculty and staff the UC Mobile product. And you can come to the store, and you can order something for your phone. For your home, you can get a home phone, you can get DirecTV, you can get a Zoomtown connection, you can buy accessories, you can change your plan or whatever you want to do. And we partnered with one of our services, ResNet. We're sharing the space because new students come in, that need to get connected to campus network. So it's kind of a student-centric space for them. So we're really excited about the store. Not only did we have a plan when we worked with IBM about a cellular offer to make it unique to our campus, but I'm sure all of you have had trouble in how you were going to deal with guest access on your campus, people who come for a day or two and they need internet access, and, you know, we pretty well locked down our network, and that was an issue for us. So we worked with Cincinnati Bell to build out a wireless mesh. This is not a really good picture, but hopefully you can see the green dots surrounding our campus. The north part of the campus is actually Burnett Woods, so it wasn't really going to be effective for us to put any Wi-Fi in that space. But all around our campus is a wireless mesh that guests can access for free. Student, faculty, and staff can access from there just as if they were on campus. And it's worked out really well for us. We're the second largest hotspot for Cincinnati Bell in the region by using that technology there. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mark so he can get into the fun stuff of a live demo.
Thanks, Diana. She says fun, I say risky, because if it doesn't work, then... And I might add that, you know, we're just kind of scratching the surface here with what we're presenting today. There's a lot behind it. We've spent years getting that infrastructure on those buildings to get that kind of coverage, to get that Wi-Fi zone built out around the campus, you know, working through architectural issues, working through right-of-way issues to get things on power poles and things of that nature. So a lot to it. So I know I wasn't going to present this application, but after having been here for 3 days and having had to ride the shuttle back and forth, I thought how appropriate to present this application to everybody. This is one of the applications that we actually first developed back in fall of 2005 and rolled it out. So it's been out there for a few years. And it's called our shuttle tracker. So on the back end, what our transportation services unit and the shuttle bus service that they outsource to, they actually see this map. And on the left-hand side, you can see the various routes that are running. And if we watch it long enough, you'll see the yellow buses moving across the screen, basically using GPS tracking in each of those buses and tying those coordinates back to a .NET application on the back end in our environment. A lot of training to make sure that all the shuttles are running. So one of the things that we did internally to have our web group do for us was build us a shuttle dashboard. So rather than having to throw up 10 individual maps, we could very quickly throw up a dashboard and identify, make sure that all shuttles are running, or if there's a problem. As I scroll down here, you can see that there's a legend. It shows you if, you know, shuttles aren't running, one shuttle's running, two shuttles should be running, those kinds of things. So that we can quickly tell if we need to contact our service providers and alert them to any problems and work through them. From the user experience, and Diana mentioned to you that we wanted our own WAP deck, and this is exactly what you're looking at on the phone. So you open your browser, you go to your WAP deck, you tap on Shuttle Tracker, and it comes and brings you a list of all the various routes that are available to you. The one we were just looking at was our Main Street route. Hit submit. And then you basically look for the stop that you're going to pick up that bus. And you hit submit. And it instantly comes back with the next three times that that bus is going to be at that stop. So if you're sitting in the library, if you're sitting in the classroom, wherever you're sitting, you know exactly how long it's going to take you to walk to that stop. So you take off and leave whenever you want to catch that next bus. In Cincinnati, we get a little chilly weather from time to time, so this comes in handy, you know, starting this time of the year. So, question? Yes, that is real time. Real time. So you notice there's a button here to update times because, you know, traffic congestion can obviously skew things. So a student can hit that as often as they want to continually be updated. It's by far been our most popular of the three mobile applications that we started with in 2005 from a student perspective. The other two applications that we rolled out in 2005, we tied one into Blackboard to do course management alerts, send text messages when faculty would post new course material to their class. And then the third application we did was a safety application called Mobile Help, where we scripted a short code on the phone to call directly into our public safety office. And it allows you to visibly see who owns that phone and the phone number that they're calling from. And toward the end of the presentation, we'll talk about our next vision for that particular application. So Diana mentioned that we held a student competition. The first three applications that we developed, we all did. We did outsourcing with two various vendors to come in and develop those for us. As we all know, outsourcing can tend to be a little expensive. So we went back to our vendor base, and we actually got Cisco, Microsoft, Dell, Cincinnati Bell all to participate in either supporting it with materials or supporting it financially to do an in-house student competition. And we went out and we worked with the faculty in the College of Engineering, the Computer Science, the Computer Engineering departments, our College of Applied Science, which has an IT technology area. And we also went into our College of Business IS area and worked with faculty from there. And from that, we had 10 student teams participate in that competition. And it was tied into their senior design project, so they were getting credit for doing this. And we also built in a lot of support behind it so that we actually tracked and guided those students through the process of design brief, of prototype, all the way telling them that they had to, you know, if they were going to receive an award at the end, they had to deliver a production level application. So the winner of the application contest was a student that developed our campus life assistant. And basically, it's a pretty simple application. All these applications are really pretty simple. Not a lot of graphics to them because you want the churn time on the response to the device to be very quick. But it allows you to quickly, if you're new to the campus, you know, we have a record incoming class this year to the institution, and if you're new, you're not familiar with your way around, or you're not sure what's going on campus, you can quickly go and look at university events. You can choose a particular event that's of interest to you. It allows you to track that event once you select it. Requires you to log in. One of the things that we did is to make sure that UC students were using this application is we actually created a mobile central login as part of this initiative. So let me quickly log in here. Don't look, you're going to see my password. So once I log in, I'm actually able to track that event. And if I go back to home, I can now actually view my upcoming events. And you can see the event I just selected is right there. It allows me to, you know, just it helps me keep a little more organized in a very busy student's daily life. So one of the other things we did was, obviously, you got to know where to eat around campus. So we created a number of categories that they could quickly find the type of dining that is appropriate to their taste. And you can select every student likes pizza. Well, I selected ice cream. So take ice cream. So quickly, if you go to ice cream, you can quickly see where it's located, phone number, that kind of information. The nice thing that one of the biggest reasons why this student won first place was because he developed it to where all we had to do to roll this into production was tie an RSS feed out of the university's e-calendar and dump it right into this application. So it's very easy for us to expand these categories, expand the amount of data that we want in this view. Did a really professional job. And I should add that when in first place, he got to go out to, he won $1,000, a Dell laptop, and a trip out to Redmond. Oh, and a smartphone. The third place application is actually called Stubbs. And it's our student bulletin system. And it allows students, whoever, to post information. And it's kind of like a mobile Craigslist, except it's a UC Mobile's Craigslist. And if you go to the for sale side, you can go to textbooks, because that's something that students are always posting. My hands are too big for this touch screen. So I need to actually log in there, because you can see that there's nothing there. So once again, I've got to go to the mobile login. So again, because they're posting things out there, we want to know who's posting it out there. And again, tying it into the central login so that we've got the identity of whoever's doing what. Still no textbooks. I thought I'd posted a textbook. My apology. So it allows you to basically post. If I scroll down, you can see the post option here. And then I could browse to a subcategory. And then it allows you to put in that textbook information as you scroll down through here. You got a preference of, you know, how do I want to be contacted as the seller? Email or phone or email. Once you submit this and fill out the basic textual information, it sends that user, because I logged in, it knows my UC email address. It sends me an email and allows me to put up a thumbnail sketch of the image if I prefer to. I don't have to, but it's also a nice application for students to be able to get rid of their books without having to go back and take whatever the local bookstore might have to be offering for that. So for those that are a little more entrepreneurial. How are we doing on time? Doing pretty good? Good. So those are three of the applications. We actually, second place was a cell phone as a personal response system. I think probably most of us in this room are familiar with Turning Point Technologies and the clickers, and how small percentage of our faculty are using that in the classroom to stay in touch with the student base to find out how they're absorbing the material. We actually, our second place team, developed an application over the cell phone to be able to provide that real-time feedback to the instructor. A little more challenging and complex to tie that into our existing Turning Point infrastructure. And so we haven't rolled that out this fall, but our plans to roll that out. And then another application that was not a winning application from an awards perspective, but certainly we thought it was a winning application from an idea perspective, was a social networking application. And in basic terms, that social networking application will allow any UC mobile user to create a group of users and create a single text message and hit the send button and distribute it out to their entire group. So to be able to send e-invites to a movie or some other activity on campus, or just meet up at the local restaurant, kind of information. So, you know, all I can say is that, you know, this project has, you know, my 23 plus at UC doing, you know, a lot of plumbing. This has been an exciting project, I think, for both Diana and I, and something that we've really enjoyed stepping out of the box. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's right for your campus, you know, what we've done. I do believe that everybody should have a mobility strategy. The avalanche is coming, if it hasn't already come on your campus. We feel like we're out in front of it a little bit, but still there's a lot of work to be done and still a lot to evolve with what we've done with our initiative. So at this point, I'm going to flip it back to Diana and let her finish out the slides.
So here comes the good, bad, and the ugly. You know, as Mark shared, yeah, it has been a fun project, but as any of you know, any large project that you undertake, there's always some good points, some bad points, and some points you wish you never remembered. One of the things that we did last year to our housing division decided that they were going to take their landlines out of the dorm rooms. How many of you have done that on your campus? Are any of you a cost recovery or recharge university, or did that impact your telecom budgets? Some not. Well, it was a pretty big hit to us. And so, you know, with us already having the UC mobile cell phone initiative, we thought, how can we maybe promote that or integrate that and still get some revenue? Maybe really not so much revenue with the UC mobile project right now, but just get the kids to buy into the cellular service. So we worked with housing and our partner, Cincinnati Bell, and came up with a free prepaid phone prepaid phone for each incoming freshman that lived on campus. We handed out, you know, roughly 3,400 phones to students, and that, you know, they got 150 minutes, 50 meg of data, and text messaging. And to our surprise, less than 50% of those phones were used. So coming into this year, the funding just was not there, and so therefore we weren't able to offer that prepaid phone offer to the students this year. However, working with Cincinnati Bell and still wanting to drive up the numbers of, you know, UC Mobile, because there was no phones in the dorms other than two in the hallways for emergency purposes. They came up with, you know, they were very aggressive in their pricing, and we offered our students on campus a $39.99 plan that gives them pretty much, you know, unlimited minutes. Last year also, we worked with a startup company. I don't know if you've ever heard, if you guys worked with any cellular startup, MochaPay, where I'm sure you've heard the initiative where your cell phone one day will be your wallet. And for us, for about 3 or 4 months, it actually was. Those of us who use UC Mobile and want to be part of that pilot, I would text a number, I would deposit some money from my checking account into MochaPay. I would go to several local restaurants around campus. I would order my food. I would go to the cash register. I would text the company. I would give the restaurant, you know, cashier, I would give her that text, and it went just like a credit card, and I was gone. The restaurants had to put in a special device that dialed back and connected back to MochaPay. So we thought, oh, man, this is going to be the next cool application. We kind of partnered with a large grocer, Kroger's. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Kroger's. And they brought a really MochaPay into a partnership with us because they were looking to how could they drive their customers with cell phones and such as that, recognize them when they come into the store. So we thought this was going to be a really good, you know, upfront step for us. Well, unfortunately, that was part of the ugly. They just kind of changed their direction. MochaPay changed their direction, so that kind of all fizzled out. All the restaurants had to pull that equipment out. So that didn't pan out like we thought it would, but you just keep hearing still in, you know, a lot of tech talk that it's coming. Maybe not be MochaPay, but it will be a company that's going to make your cell phone your wallet. Because everybody has their cell phone, right? Sometimes you leave your wallet at home, but they always have their cell phones. And also the student competition, the student applications. You know, as Mark shared, we had developers do our first three mobile applications, and that was based upon some focus groups, what we thought kids wanted, and what we as adults thought they needed. And but, you know, then we decided, well, let's, you know, see what the kids really say they need. Let's see what they can come up with. And I think they came up with some really good ideas for the first year. And we're going to continue to build out the Wi-Fi. I have to kind of chuckle yesterday when they mentioned the cloud. When we worked with IBM, one of the gentlemen that we worked with, he said, I see this campus cloud all around you. So I had to kind of chuckle that, yeah, cloud computing now is all over. But we'll still be working out that the Wi-Fi. And we now are going through a process of validating the 90% coverage on our campus with a third party to verify that, validate that with us, that we are actually getting that 90% coverage on our campus. And that's been a good project for one of my engineers, and I'm going to start coughing. I will let Mark take over here because I'm going to get started coughing here.
So one of the biggest challenges, you know, anytime you're forging a new trail, and we never planned to really be in the cellular business per se because it's a real cutthroat, chaotic business. But one of the challenges that we found is building that subscriber base. And clearly, if anybody's done a cellular build-out on their campus, the quid pro quo back to the carrier is they want additional subscribers. So we've oscillated right about 1,000 to 1,200 subscribers for the first couple of years. Still trying to find that tipping point that's going to push us upwards beyond that. Diane had shared that we did the Wi-Fi mesh build out around campus, and the RFP was a lot about cellular. But we've always had in the back of our mind that Wi-Fi has a play with it. And obviously, as we've heard at this conference, a lot of, you know, sessions on, you know, 802.11n and the capabilities that that brings to the forefront. You know, we're looking to do what's kind of fuse that Wi-Fi, and we're kind of stealing the name that Cincinnati Bell uses at home in Cincinnati. They call it Fusion Wi-Fi. And so if you've got poor cellular coverage in your home, they come in with their broadband service, they add a little Wi-Fi to it, and all of a sudden you can now roam between the cellular and Wi-Fi experience. And so we're looking to take that and do that as well on campus. Connected to that is a next step that we're talking with Cisco about in a application that they actually have called Concierge, and they have a application appliance called a mobility services engine that application runs on top of. And the cool thing about it is it allows you to do location-based services on your Wi-Fi. So I'd mentioned earlier that we had a mobile help application that you can call into our public safety office. Well, we've always had this vision that when you dial into the public safety office, not only would we give them the phone number, the name of the owner of that phone, but we would also give them the location on campus. We've yet to do the proof of concept, so this is kind of our exciting next step. But the exciting next step is we're supposed to be able to tell with the Wi-Fi down to 10 feet using Wi-Fi triangulation. And we know that, you know, all of us know that, you know, Wi-Fi is more or less an embedded feature in all smartphones today. And I think we're beginning to see the trend of smartphones begin to be pervasive across our campuses for students, especially as that price point is being driven down by the carriers. Clearly one of our challenges, and this is more Diana's challenge than mine, is driving that marketing and folks into our new store. I think marketing, you just kind of keep trying things and throwing things out there, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. And then also, just this year, we've started marketing to our faculty and staff. You know, just like we, you know, a number of you raised hands, not a lot, still a small percentage of us that have pulled landlines out of the residence halls. We see landlines going away in faculty offices as well. Faculty are mobile workers as well. As a matter of fact, we're in the process of doing a traffic analysis, a local traffic analysis with our foundation, who has about 70 users, and they've come to us and they said, people don't need to have desk phones anymore. We want to put them all on UC Mobile. They're all mobile workers, and that's the direction that we see things heading in. And so it's kind of exciting for us because, you know, we're all kind of, I think one of the sessions showed, I think there was the Gartner guy that showed, you know, stability and then change and then stability. Well, I think we're just all accustomed to the constant change, and that's what we live for. So I'll open it up to questions. Chris. We haven't talked to actual colleges and departments yet. We're still looking for the poster child for the faculty and staff. Because the foundation actually came to us, they're the first. And so the plan is, you know, we're going to take and move their UC exchange line and put it on this device. It's tied into our voicemail. So in essence, what we're trying to do is make it as transparent to them of a change as possible. They're just now using a mobile device versus one that sits on their desk. So no, we haven't really gotten into the devil and the details on that, but just starting out doing an analysis on their local calling patterns so that we make sure that whatever cell plan that we put them into covers them, because obviously nobody wants to pay, you know, the surcharges that you get for using extra minutes. But as Diana had shared, you know, we've created this local cloud around the greater Cincinnati area. So our plans can include what's a feature known as everyday calling. So, and I think Bell South does this as well, where you can call any local number up to Cincinnati Bell's 2 million local numbers and have it just part of your plan. It doesn't count towards your minutes. So we see those kind of features playing an important role because there's obviously a lot of campus, to, you know, intercalling on the campus and a lot of calling within the local area. So
one of the other features, another feature with the mobile phone is that those departments or faculty and staff that want to get rid of their desk phone and have a mobile phone, well, they don't want their cell phone to always have their office, you know, out of office voicemail response to that. So we've worked with our vendor, and we can now provide
two responses, you know, on, like, if you call my office number, you'll get this response. If you actually call my cell phone number, you're going to get this response. So it makes it easier that you don't have to always call your, you know, everybody here. Because I've had many people say, well, Diana, I know you're not in the office. Why do I'm calling your cell phone. Well, so we figured that out, that we can actually have two messages on the one device. So that's good. Or the one mailbox. Well, unfortunately, you know, Cincinnati Bell cannot sell the iPhone, so UC Mobile can't support that. The percentage of students, you know, we're targeting our incoming freshmen. So 10-15% of each incoming year we've added, I would say, to that. Sure.
When we actually built the mobile application that ties into our course management solution, Blackboard, we did that with ClearText. I think they're out of North Carolina. They've recently been acquired by Rave Wireless, for those of you familiar with Rave. When we did that, emergency notifications was... You know, this was pre-Virginia Tech incident, but emergency notifications was always a checkbox option within there. And all we've done since the Virginia Tech thing is get the word out about getting people to sign up for the emergency notifications process. So we're actually have about 7,500 users, faculty, staff, students on campus that are actually signed up for that emergency notification service. So it allows us, as just one of the plays in the emergency notification solution that we have on campus, we're taking advantage of that. Right. So you're talking about capacity on the cellular network, basically? Okay. That's actually part of the RFP requirements. I mean, obviously having multiple cell towers on campus is obviously going to increase our capacity capability just by the fact that those, you know, cell towers are there. We actually have two cell tower sites today, a third one going in on the medical side of the university. And it's a requirement of the RFP, a metric that the carrier actually has to report to us on capacity, drop calls, issues like that. Fortunately, we've never had an incident where, you know, our cell network has been tied up. But I have to believe that, you know, even though we've got the additional capacity there, we'll still experience what it gets experienced nationwide. You know, cell networks won't be reliable. I don't think that we're, and that's why I say it's just one play in our emergency options. So, question. Certainly, they can keep the same number. Well, faculty and staff are tied into the DID lines, not students. So, yeah. Any faculty or staff that were moving that DID line to this cell phone, if they leave the university, that number comes back to the university. Yes. Yes. Well, if there are no more questions, thanks for your time this morning and attendance. So have a safe flight home.
This EDUCAUSE 2008 Annual Conference podcast is sponsored by Real Networks. Real Networks enables digital delivery of distance learning coursework, athletic events, and more to students anywhere. Information at realnetworks.com.